Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everybody, it's Shift and Stare. Where the hell have you guys been? And, we're here. We're waiting for you. We want to do a new show, and it's episode 433. Welcome to the party, pals. And this week, we're going to talk to Aaron Hagar about his trip to St. Louis. He was at the comedy club. I think it was called Rascals Fanaticals Comedy Club. Which one was it?
Funny Bone.
Funny Bone. Okay, they were tickling the funny bone there. And we're also going to talk about this extremely exotic, crazy race car for the street that you can get on the list, but be prepared to pay probably $300,000 plus. That is if you can even get on the list. And there's a surplus of electricity. And there's a little device that Land Rover came out with that's pretty interesting. Pretty damn interesting. And there's a lot of ands in this beginning, isn't there? And we're going to teach you how to make a song about your car. You know, I did it as a rock song, but I should have done it as like a country and western song, you know, like, got my Chevelle, it's on a dusty road, your kids in the trunk. So anyway, okay, everybody, let's get going here. Let's just start it right out. Double A, Ron, you just got back from your trip. Tell everybody who didn't hear the previous show what you were doing, why you were there, and what happened.
Super fun. So I went to St. Louis, St. Charles specifically, and performed at the Funny Bone. It was really, really, really cool. There was a band, a local band, a bit like a superhero band, Divine Sorrow, which were really, really amazing guys. That they're definitely more like metal kind of stuff, like dark metal, you know, Tool, and you know. But they don't do covers. Yeah, they learned a few covers. And but basically I was asked, you know, so St. Louis is like a hometown for our family, and it's where the dad's name, the Red Rocker, originated. And it's a great story. So you can find that story elsewhere, but it's a great story of his legacy with St. Louis. And the Funny Bone, one of the guys, Ron Matthews, who helps out there and works there, and he's a great guy, and he's another friend of a friend. He said, "Hey, you should come here and talk for an hour or something, you know." And I said, "Oh, that's a cool idea." And it was just like a little nonchalant deal. It turned out to like a record breaking, you know, instant ticket sales, sold out. I mean, it was really fun. So it was about 300 plus people.
Was there a line like Taylor Swift had here yesterday?
in a micro universe, yes. There was a micro line. But yeah, it was 300 plus people. I went in there and did a meet and greet, and then did like an hour show of just talking and telling stories. The name of the show was He's Just Dad, which I thought was really cool. He's Just Dad. And then Divine Sorrow did a couple songs up front, and then I jumped on, and then we did four songs together, and it was super fun. The guys nailed it.
What does a thrash metal version of Jump sound like?
No. We did a couple Montrose songs and like, you know, heavy metal and One Way to Rock, just some classics. The fans were singing along. I had a cold last week. I had a really quick cold, but I was kind of concerned. You can hear I'm a little congested still. It. I was kind of concerned about singing, and I don't know. It was weird. It just worked. I mean, we still did a, you know, a half step, but down, but it was a great show. Everybody was happy. There was some merch in there that got sold out that the club made. And it was really fun.
I saw a couple photos you posted. You had a slideshow along with it, right? With some photos and.
So I asked him, I said, "Hey, you know, is there a screen or something?" And he goes, "Oh, we can roll a TV on the stage." And I'm like, "Oh, awesome." I said, well, I was thinking I should put some photos that I haven't published up and just kind of talk about some fun stuff. The opening of the show, I basically walked out on stage and said, "Oh my gosh, the remodel of my living room looks so good. Now I can fit you all in it." and that kind of set the tone. And so with that, I mean, literally before the show, I had like an hour and I sat down and kind of put, you know, 30 or 40 more photos together. I had about 80 photos total from the night before off my phone, just imported my laptop and just hit, you know, slideshow. And we just kind of went through them and I told stories on some of them. And that was probably a third of the show. But it was really cool. You know, there was one slide of Dad laying down in a lounge chair, I think in Hawaii. I think I was probably 10 and he's got yellow Speedos on.
Oh, the one where he's floating on the raft?
No. He's laying on a lounge chair.
Oh, is that a lounge chair? Yeah, I saw the yellow Speedos.
Yeah, exactly. He's wearing the yellow Speedos. And I paused it and I went, oh, yeah. I said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, the day you find out when your mom calls your dad salami, what it means. You know, just fun stuff. It wasn't meant to be funny, but we had some really, really good deep belly laughs about some photos and stories, and it worked out beautiful. I'd love to do it again. I don't know if it's a model for any kind of a tour. It was specific and really curated for St. Louis, being such an inviting and welcoming and loving a group of fans and people, and everybody's so nice there. And it was really a great experience. I hope to do it again, maybe with my brother, two of us sitting on a couch and maybe play a little acoustic set or something. It's cool. Well, I was told it was over 300. So the record I think is 306. I think we pushed it a little further than that. Anodized clay holds the record, so we didn't want to publicly, you know, outdo the king. So I think we'll leave anodized clay with the record regardless. Cool. Yeah.
Good for you, man.
So thank you, St. Louis. Thank you, Funny Bone. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Divine Sorrow. It was a great experience.
Yeah, great. Sounds good.
Well, while you were doing that, I was out in the dirt at Dirty Fest. I mentioned it on the last show and went out. What a good time, man. It was twice as big as last year. There were actually some NASCAR racers out there. Jerry McGrath was out there. Jeremy McGrath was actually racing, and it was pretty cool. There was... you know, the fear of rain all day, but it literally didn't rain till I got in my car to leave.
Good.
And then it rained. And it was just great. You know, you can go check it out on social media, Dirty Fest. And what a cool thing to bring a bunch of people together. And we had a big discussion out there about the link between cars and BMX and the mechanics of it, the fabrication, everything, and really cool. We talked about it at enough length last week, so we don't have to harp on it, but I had a great time. It was fun.
You didn't race this year.
I did not race this year. One, the primary reason was I would have loved to. And once you get out there, you even want to even more.
I'm sure.
But I just had no time to prepare this year. Business has been tough, man. It's been a tough year, and I've been so into that I didn't have time to get a bike built nor do any physical preparation. And the last thing you want to do is go out there and get hurt. And
At your age, really true. You don't want
to. At anybody's age, you know? I mean,
it looks like you got a little sun out there despite
It was one of those weird rain days coming later. Sunny, cloudy, and so I didn't wear a hat, and woo, yep, got burnt. But yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought the computer just oversaturated the screen. Yeah, exactly.
but no, it was fun. Had a great time, and it was just a great group of people, and you know, people I've known forever between my years racing as a, you know, an amateur and then a pro and then running the ABA sanctioning body that puts the races on, and then Vision Streetwear. I've got such a wide group of friends, and it was just like, hey, hi, how are you? And it was neat. It was really neat. And this year there were people from all over the world, not just the country. And next year they're actually afraid it's going to double again because they're it started out as three guys who got together and three pros and said, hey, let's do this retro BMX thing. And now it's just gotten, you know, out of control. So
would they move it to a different venue? Would that venue accommodate, you know,
the venue will accommodate. It's a very interesting, it's called Vail Lake. It sits in the hills behind Temecula. And so because Temecula is a destination for a lot of wineries, there's plenty of hotels, there's plenty of things like that around.
Yeah.
But Vail Lake is actually a KOA campground.
Oh, wow.
You pull in and it's amazing. It's trees and grass, and there's this huge clubhouse. There's a pool. There's a restaurant. And then there are like 200 pads for motorhomes. Then there's another area just for camping. People want to pull up and put a tent up that still has like a fire pit and a place to plug in. And then the track is built in the hills behind it, because what Vail Lake is known for is for people that want to come camp. But also there is something like 50 trails that go into the hills, and mountain bikers. Long gone there. So a former pro, Eric Carter, who was a champion BMXer and then mountain biker, he actually works there. He's one of the managers. And so they've got a great facility. They just need to have the manpower to accommodate that many more people, you know, because it started out as a, hey, let's do a little loose and have fun. And now as many people as they had, because as I mentioned on the last show, guys, they've got the bike show. Then they have the vendors area. Then they have the swap meet. And so it's like producing a big car show. You know, when you have, if you go on to Dirty Fest and look around at some of the posts, there's some great drone footage, and it shows you how big the event already is. Because I would guess 2 acres of easy ups, you know, in the one area, and they're all colorful, and it's really cool. So, they were even talking about, I was talking to Eric. He said, we may have to do 2 tracks so that we can get as many riders through and, you know, have like a, you know, an Amtrak and a pro track or something like that, so we can get more people through. So, anyways, it was really fun. It was really fun. Matt.
Yeah, it looks like a cool event.
Oh,
yeah. It looked great.
And you know what was cool about it? There was little kids there all the way up to 70-year-old men and women racing. And it was men and women. It's, you know, that's what's so fun about it. The talk this week's all about that 2025 Ford Mustang GTD. We've spoke about it on the show.
Yeah.
But now, Matt, I'm sure you being the Mustang guy, you're all up on that, and knowing that they're starting the list.
They're starting the list. They've been doing testing of the car. Some of them have been popped up with some of the, you know, some of the disguise wraps on it. They've been popping up. There's some track footage. They're doing testing on the track. It just sounds amazing. Just as a reminder, so the GTD was, because there's no more Ford GT, Ford had commissioned Multimatic to create some of their racing cars. Their GT3, GT4 racing cars. And when their CEO, Jim Farley, went over and saw the car, he got very curious, and he was like, can we turn this into a street car? And they said, hold my beer. And they, hold my Bravago. And they went back and they put a plan together, and they came up with the GTD, which is essentially their race car that they put it on, built for the street. Incredible racing car suspension, GT500.
800 horsepower?
Yeah, they took the GT500 engine and just turned up the wick and got it up to, got it up to a little bit more power.
It's gorgeous, man.
It's,
wow.
It's a cool piece. It's pretty over the top. I saw it in Monterey. There was an event that we were invited to see the debut of it. And then I ended up seeing it a few other times over the past year. in Detroit and a couple of other places. So it's pretty cool. But yes, it will. So apparently there's going to be a list for it, like the 4GT, but it doesn't necessarily mean if you have a 4GT, you're on this list. Right. The idea was to get it out to some Ford enthusiasts, Mustang enthusiasts, but not necessarily just the 4GT people. So having a 4GT doesn't make you on the list, because there's a lot of people that
free, right? They don't want to be in a warehouse.
And they didn't want to be like, everyone that got a 4GT can get one of these. They wanted new people to get it out to. Now, when they came out, they kept saying the price is going to be $300,000. And I have heard that it's probably going to be closer to four. I believe
sure it will be. Yeah.
And $300,000 is the base, but there's like a carbon fiber package. It's about $50,000. And there's a track package. It's about $50,000. And I don't know. It seems like if you're getting that car, you're opting for those packages anyway. So expect it to be about $400,000.
And I want
to think I was going to say, do you think in the collector market that someday this may be $1 million Mustang? You think it might happen?
I do think so.
Yeah, now, I think so too.
There's an interesting thought on the car. Like a lot of people that love the new 4GT, when they showed this car at Monterey, there were some people that loved it, understood the collectability of it. And then some people were like, I'm not there. I'm not getting it. Like, it's just a Mustang. Who's going to spend $400,000 for a Mustang? And the reality is it's a racing car that they built for the street. It just happens to have some Mustang inspired bodywork off of it, because it was meant to be their race car, right? They, instead of, you know, racing cars are built off of the design of a production car, going, we want the race car has to look like the Mustang and the Camaro has to look like the Camaro. Well, this just kind of went full circle. We have the Mustang, they made the race car, and then they said, great, now let's go back and turn it into a street car. And you couldn't make the race car for that kind of money anyway. So the price is what it is, but I think it's going to be fun.
The original show where we talked about it after you saw it at Monterey, I was one of those people. I went, I don't like the looks of it. I don't, you know, I just was not on board. However, it was the angle in the photos that they showed of it. The more I saw it and the more I realized the technology that was in it, that it wasn't just a body cladded Mustang. I see it. And I agree with you guys. This will be a very valuable collector car into the future. But you've got to be able to afford that to begin with, as we all know with all these cars.
You've got to get on the list. You got to be able to pay for it for sure. But I 100%, Aaron, this will be $1 million.
Yeah.
It'll be $1 million Mustang.
I thought I'd like the new Mustangs after seeing the Dark Horse in person. The Dark Horse is gorgeous, and it was just the right color combo. But I saw one of the new Mustangs on an intersection, like on the way to the airport last week. And I went, that's a weird looking Camaro. Oh, shit, that's a new Mustang.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like that. The Dark Horse doesn't look like that. But the regular old, like, Mustang GT or whatever, I'm sorry, guys. It looked like a Camaro. It just at a stoplight. I had to double take.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of that.
On the internet, these rumblings that, GM's talking about bringing back the Camaro. Have you heard this?
No.
I haven't, because I last I heard the Camaro was done for a while.
Right.
Unless it's going to be some sort of, like, hybrid electric.
I've seen these, and, you know, and the first thing I think is, okay, is this just someone who is, you know, you don't know what to believe anymore on the internet? Is this just you know, mocking that it's gone and come back and gone and come back? Or is it really they're going to bring it back as a hybrid SUV or whatever? You know, you just
there's nothing that GM has that's worth leaking information. Going, there's going to be new, they're probably so far away from this. Also, they're still trying to juggle, like all the car companies now are trying to juggle the direction of their future going, because so many were like, oh, we've got to go to EV, and now they're backtracking a little bit, going, nah, we're not going to do that. And It's been interesting. Toyota was always like, hybrid's the way to go. And now they're going, yeah, hybrid's going to be the way to go. And Ford was like, we're going to do some EV stuff, but we're going to keep the Mustang gas engine as long as possible. And they were kind of right. And I think Porsche was backstepping a little bit on some thoughts.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things I was going to talk about today was the surplus of electric cars. They are beginning to pile up everywhere. And no more than the Chinese electric cars. Did you guys see some of these photos of electric cars sitting on the docks? I mean, we're talking thousands. And it's worse in Europe. There are EVs piling up from China because, one, there's this, hold on, you're not bringing all those cars in till we have a few things clarified here. This could be a security threat if we have all these rolling computers coming into our United States. But in Europe, Germany, for one, has ended all of the tax credits on electric vehicles. And so they are just piling up. And, you know, we do know that, you know, Ford has a lot of, electric trucks sitting, and, you know, it's just everything's changed around. We heard this week that Elon Musk is laying off 10%, which I didn't realize how many employees they had, because they said that's 15,000 people. I was like, what? You know, but their worldwide employee is now considerable. And yet we're just seeing it all change very, very quickly.
You know, we were talking about that on CarCast as well, is not that there's anything wrong or an issue with Tesla. They're a monster of a company now, and they're doing it with EVs. Like, they're getting it done. But at some point, they need to turn into a regular car company, just meaning that, yes, they're going to have to start advertising and providing discounts, which they're doing. For the first time in, I don't know, 20 years, we're seeing ads for Tesla, and they're doing price cuts. And the layoffs is because they thought they were going to be a grand slam home run in China, but already they're ahead of the game there. BYD, which is a Chinese car company, they sold 3 million cars last year. They beat Tesla for the second year in a row as an EV car manufacturer. We don't have them here. But we might at some point. We don't have them here yet. It's just, you know, Tesla didn't have quite the impact they hoped they would in China, because there are other companies that are getting it done.
There's this Chinese government that really wants their manufacturers to excel. So that's a big difference too.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. But you know what? We are seeing some things happen that are interesting. Land Rover, they recently announced that they've been working on some technology, because we've brought this up how many times? What do we do with all these batteries once they're they have to be changed out? Well, they've come up with some repackaging, is the best way I would explain it, of their old batteries to be made into very similar to like a Tesla home charger, the home batteries that they sell.
Oh, yeah.
That although the cycle life and the power may not be suitable for the vehicles, in this new packaging, they're marketing them as a alternative to like a diesel generator for emergencies. And they're saying that it has enough energy that it could power the average home for 30 days.
It's like a backup battery for the house.
Yeah,
something that doesn't have to cycle as much.
Yeah, and that's really smart, because I'm sure, like you said, there's a duty cycle or something in it which it could be repurposed to still work within a certain tolerance or parameter for something else. Sorry, folks, I have a lap dog again today. He's trying to sleep. He's snoring.
It took all of about 90 seconds while I was talking. I did 5 sentences about Tesla, and he went from being on your lap to passing out and snoring.
Like, yeah, he's not a Tesla dog. He's not an EV fan. No. He's not, definitely not.
I hope we're keeping the listeners awake for the best of it. Hey, guys.
Oh, my gosh, like Doc.
How many of you really like your cars? You love them, don't you?
Yeah.
I love our cars.
You ever thought about writing a song about your car?
I haven't, but I don't have a musical bone. Hey, in my
Brad, hello, it runs in the family. We've all written songs of our cars.
Yeah.
Dad especially.
So I ran across something. We're always talking about AI and what it's doing.
Pesto.
And I ran across a program that anyone can go to. It's free right now because it's in beta. And it's udio.com. So it's audio with no A. And I was like, oh, good, something else to suck my time out of my life. And so I'm going to play you two 33-second songs. All I put in was a song about my 67 Chevelle SS396 that I had since high school. Do it in pop rock. You can choose if you want indie rock, synth, country and western, rap, anything you want. And here are the two versions it gave me with no other prompt. Here's the first.
I can't hear it very well. I think it's just coming through the speaker on your laptop. Not through the video chat. Yeah, it won't play through the video chat. It won't like play through your microphone. You got to hold your microphone up to your little speaker.
As Brad deals with technical difficulties,
are you not getting it, guys?
No, nothing.
Really?
Yep.
So was it just so distant, or you didn't get it at all?
If you play it like on the speaker of your laptop, you'd have to hold the microphone up to your laptop. It's not configured to play through video chat.
Is that better?
Nope.
This is the biggest part of the show, man. Come on.
Maybe there's a copyright thing where it won't let you play it.
Maybe Brad didn't plan ahead.
Is that working?
Nope.
You can't hear that at all.
Nope.
I mean, barely in the background. Sounds like it's really? In the other room.
Yep.
That is so strange. Well, we'll have to post it then. That's disappointing because I had it up so loud, I thought for sure you guys would be able to hear it. So maybe you guys are going deaf.
What?
There you go. Well, everybody should go and play with it. It's a lot of fun. You can really get into tweaking it to where it sounds incredible. And I don't have the patience for that. So I just did a
Brad's off of it already. Brad's off of it already. He's done with it already. You played around with it once.
It is fun though. You can put it in. But what is amazing, as we are always saying about AI, is that if we wanted to make a song about our podcast and use it as a lead-in, we could do that. It's free. We could create it. You can go in and do, as I said, just a line like that. Or you can also write your own song, and it'll compose the music and put a singer to it. And it's pretty scary. Pretty scary.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's I don't know. It's nuts. It's like there won't be anyone employed in the creative world at some point because they'll go. Yeah. I want to hear. And you got to use a podcast about cars, and the AI will just go yeah, and it'll just propagate all of the latest information and comments off the internet and give you three fake talking heads. So
I wouldn't rely on comments on the internet to come up with legitimate content. That's
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My 67 ride, steel queen, a dream in my high school days. Engine roar, she flies. Beast unleashed on every lane. You don't know what you got till you hit that road. You don't know what you got till she bears that load. You don't know what you got till the lights they glow. Oh, baby, my Chevelle SS396, come take one more stroll.
Right.
This week on How to Fit Your Car with New Wheels. Well, sure, Jimmy said on this forum that a 45-inch wheel will fit your Tesla. And so, yeah, that's the kind of stuff you'd have to be afraid of. You know?
Speaking of new wheels, I just posted on the CarCast YouTube channel a video of putting the new wheels and tires on the Ford Lightning. And then I'm going to work on a second video, but I just got back from Eibach, which I haven't been to their headquarters before, but I went over to Eibach.
The 91 out there?
No, I brought my 2022 Lightning and off the 91
off
freeway.
The 91,
Yeah. So I went out there and visited their place, and we lowered the new Lightning, but it was more like a leveling kit. The leveling kit on all of your four-wheel drive trucks is, it's really about kind of raising the front end a little bit to level it. So we did a lower leveling kit where on the truck, it really brought the rear down a bit to give it more of a sport truck look. But because of the suspension geometry and the battery, which hangs down a bit, we only dropped the front of the truck about a quarter of an inch, but dropped the back of the truck 3 inches. So now it has a more of a sport truck look to it and looks level without it being slammed. By no means is it slammed. So yeah, it looks good. It's got a good look to it. It's got coil springs at the back, no leaf springs. So we did coilovers, coil springs all around, and Eibach performance shocks that we put on there. It's a little bit higher rate, so you feel a little bit more of the road, but it has a little bit tighter handling all around, and for a truck that heavy, it kind of needed it. So yeah, it's getting there.
I've used Eibach on a number of projects over the years. I love their stuff. Yeah,
good. Yeah, stuff. I was going right by your office.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it stopped.
So Matt, when I saw your post, I was thinking, we got rid of Misha's Porsche Macan and got her that Defender 90, and it's a P400. It's got 400 horsepower. It actually hauls ass.
Yeah, it's
but
quick.
But unlike Misha's Macan, which is more of a sports SUV, this is just a sporty SUV. And when you lay on the gas, man, it squats in the back end, huge. Now ours doesn't have the air suspension. It just has fixed suspension. And yeah, we're actually doing more of an urban vibe on it. She wants to do like the urban wide body fenders and maybe get a different set of wheels that are a little wider. She wants to urbanize it. So I was thinking, well, she wants to lower it a little bit. It still has tons of ground clearance, but we wanted to tuck that wheel well height, like make a little less. So I thought, well, maybe, Eibach makes a spring kit because this thing's heavy. I was hoping that maybe they make a spring kit to keep it from sacking out in the back under acceleration and maybe lower it a little bit. Yeah, I didn't know where else to go.
I mean, you could check with them and see what they have. But I've driven the truck that you're talking about. When that came out, we got a media truck. We got a press truck. And I did a rally of cars and went through like all through Mulholland and went through the canyons. It was not the best vehicle for that at the time. No. Everyone was in Ferraris and Porsches and Lamborghinis and Audi R8s and stuff, and I was in that. So yes, I 100% I know what you're talking about. The suspension was a little soft, but overall it was meant for a comfortable ride, and it was meant to go off road. You may run into a few issues. Like on my Lightning specifically, two things came up. One, lowering it caused quite a bit of camber in the rear.
Yeah.
And there isn't really a solution for it. There's one aftermarket.
There's no adjustable trailing arms or anything like
no,
that.
No, you can, because you can adjust.
Made to be lowered. That's yeah. on the factory.
Right.
Yeah. You can adjust toe, but you can't adjust camber. And, okay. I think company Icon, has like an aftermarket camber kit, and it's, you kind of like slot the frame and you can get a bolt in there and you can add a little bit of an adjustment. So, it's going to require a little bit of work. And then the other thing is all these new cars and trucks, they have all these different sensors on them. And on, on my truck, it has onboard scales. So,
oh, wow.
When you put a payload in the back or hook up a trailer, up on the screen, it'll tell you how much weight, or if you're at the back of the truck, lights come up in the taillights, like hidden LEDs in the taillights. And they kind of, there's like five, and it tells you how much weight you're putting in there. And it's basically a sensor, and it just has like a little linkage, and it's mounted to the frame and the control arm. It knows its own spring rate, so it knows how much weight is in there. But when we lowered it, it obviously moved that sensor. So now the truck thinks it's maxed out. It thinks the payload is maxed out. So there may be a way to calibrate it and zero it out, but it wouldn't give you much room to move the sensor. Like if you did add weight, you could try a shorter linkage in between, or we could do a relocation bracket and move the sensor back down to a position. So I've got to come up with a solution for that, because it's not meant to be lowered. Like you said, Brad, it's not meant to be lowered.
I think the solution for this is just to get the same ride height, but just a stiffer spring for the rear. Because it sacks out a lot. And like if you change lanes quick, you know, it does have a little bit of a dance, you know, because it's made for that comfort ride.
Yeah. Does it have sway bars? Maybe there's an upgrade sway bar.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. But I don't know if it's a sway bar, like for that top soft thing, sway bar, definitely. But with the, for the back end of squat, when you accelerate, I think that's just a different spring rate. You know, I guess I could put an airbag set up, like an inner spring sleeve airbag to just stiffen it up a little bit. I guess I could do that.
I mean, that's probably a fairly inexpensive way.
Like an airlift bag. It's funny though.
Like a helper airbag or like a helper sprayer.
Exactly. An airbag helper. Yep.
We have all been doing this for so long. I mean, I was listening to you talk about sensors, and it made me think of that one car I have in my collection, which is that Mitsubishi. I still didn't say it right.
Mitsubishi.
I can't say it. It's
not Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi. There we go. Mitsubishi. The Diamante that we built at Boyd's way back in 95, I think 94, 95, that car was shipped over from Japan, and it's all 3000 GT underneath. So it has active suspension, four-wheel steering, and I wanted to lower it, you know, because we put, you know, custom wheels on it. We did all kinds of stuff to it, and crawl under it on the lift. And the way we figured that out was the same thing we're doing today. It was all hydraulic as far as the active suspension. And there was a sensor, and it was a height sensor. And we figured out that a zip tie, we squished that down a little bit, and the car lowered front and rear an inch. And active suspension still works and everything. It was really cool.
Wow.
It would lower itself for you.
Yes. You just had to fold the sensor to making it think that it was at a, you know, at a different rate, you know, and it was just, and that's what you're talking about with your truck and stuff like that. It's just,
smart. Trick it.
Well, I have to figure out the camber issue and that sensor issue. And when I do, I'll add it to the video and I'll post the video. I don't want to post the video of lowering it yet without solving the issue.
You have one way to do it very quickly, Matt. take a picture of it, have AI adjust the camber, and then post the photo, and it's done.
Done. That's done.
May not be in real life, but in AI life.
Yeah.
Complete. So.
Yeah, it's right, interesting, guys. That, by the way, that added camber in the back is enough to cause just like a little bit of scrubbing. I think the toe, that I noticed I could hear the tires a little bit more. Now, keep in mind, the truck's an EV, so it's quiet. There's no engine noise.
Yeah, true.
So, and if you don't have the radio on, I notice a difference, because before I didn't really hear anything, and now I hear something. It's subtle, and it's not much. And once we fix the toe, it solved some of that issue in the rear. But yeah, I think it's going to affect.
Radio can hide a lot.
It sure does.
Every time I drive Charlotte's truck, I get in it and I'm driving down to put gas in it or have the oil changed or whatever. And I go, did you not hear the brakes, or did you not hear that? I always have the stereo on, you know, because it's got that.
Right.
We built that truck. We had that big stereo put in it. And yeah. She must be rocking out, man, because she doesn't hear anything. I think it could be dragging a car trailer without wheels on it, and she wouldn't know.
She's which Brad has done before.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, who hasn't? We got anything else? All right,
guys, let's wrap it up. No, I think
we're going to wrap it up
for this week.
We're going to wrap it up this week.
That's it.
Matt, where can they find us online?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com. And if you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, we've been working on getting it over to a new platform. It's really not going to change anything for you guys, the listeners, except it'll pop up on Spotify and almost all the other platforms where you syndicate podcasts, where you listen to podcasts. So if you want to switch to a different platform, you probably can.
And also, please always rate us, always give us a good rating, 5-star rating, because, you know, I know we're over 400 episodes, but you know what? We still have to attract the eyeballs of advertisers. Otherwise, we can't do it. And would you miss us? I know you'd miss, Matt and Aaron at least. So, anyways, hey, everyone, follow me on Instagram, Bradley_Fanshawe, and help me learn how to pronounce Mitsubishi. And
that's not it.
And also, do not forget Bond Speed Wheels, bondspeedwheels.com, the best forged billet wheels that have ever been made on the face of this earth. That's in my opinion.
My goodness.
Matty?
All right.
Where can they find you, Matt? At the Bravago Central?
Check me out at Motorator on social media and drinkbravago.com. Order yourself some. It's delicious. Your body will thank you as it gets slightly drunk.
So will your date. You can find me all over at Aaron Hagar, including updates about the show and anything else we're up to.
All right. We'll be back next week. That's a promise, not a threat. Thanks, everybody.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.